Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we're talking about modes of transcendence, hopefully, if we get to our topic, but also taking calls for on-air readings. And I think we're going to be getting to our callers first, as we usually do. We've got a couple of callers in the queue, so we're going to get right to those calls in just a moment, but want to invite those callers and those of you that are listening to join us here on Blog Talk Radio as well. On Facebook. So we were extending invitations for others to do that. And the reason why is not only to support the show, but because we work on the energy of the people that call. So if we have a connection with you on social media, then we can do a little bit more in terms of looking at your pictures and working with the energy field.
Neil? Yeah, we always encourage you to join us there because it does help us, and we do look through it, and it
we
only
really do.
To your advantage. So we notice a lot of people say they're going to do it, but then they don't. And so
then we're not,
try to follow
yeah,
through on that.
Try to follow it's through because then we'll follow through, too, on the work that we promised to do off there.
Right.
Because we do. We do that, but it will make our work a little easier.
It's like we're collecting
data.
We've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people on there. We don't need more. It's not that. It's about people who are actively seeking some guidance and we're willing to put out some more time for that.
Right, especially because we do offer this as a service to people. So it's a nice way to give back to us. And it doesn't cost you anything. Okay, 631 is our first caller, and then 248. Hi, 631.
Hi, good morning. This is Nicole.
Hi, Nicole. Where are you calling from, Nicole?
New York.
Okay. New York. And your birth date?
9/30/82.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead with your question.
I was wondering if you see anything as far as finances right now. Right now I'm not working because I have two small children and I really can't see how I can take care, and I'm looking
go ahead
to see if think I'll still be able to take care of my children because I'm their sole financial provider right now.
So you don't have support from the father of the children?
No, actually, I called about maybe a month ago.
Okay.
You know, in reference to him, and you guys, really said, confirmed what I already felt, that he wasn't going to really, they're not really a priority. So I really, like, the universe is just telling me to focus on myself. And, I'm trying to do that right now. I enrolled in school. I've been in classes for my master's about a month now.
So you're getting, you're in school. What is, can you remind us what your master's is in?
Right now it's clinical counseling.
Clinical counseling. I'm trying to remember your call and what we talked about. Do you remember, Neil?
I remember the
call. I've asked about the father of my children whether he, you actually mentioned at the end of it a karmic relationship, and I did some research on it, and I absolutely feel like, what you were saying is true, that that we did have past lives together, and I had to learn a lesson from the relationship, because he really, his name is Edison, he really just, right now, he's just not a good person, really.
Okay, I see.
For
when
me to be with,
so. And There was another counselor, though, that I think that's who you're thinking of. And she was also from New York. Different person. The one who wanted to make money, that one, is that what you're thinking of?
I don't know.
Is a different person. But, Nicole, do you have the – well, we don't need to look at his birth date, really. Do we want his birth date?
Well, she's looking for financial.
Really, yeah,
you're seeking financial advice right now, right?
You know, for you know, this is from me now. Like, I want to, you know, focus on making sure that I'm doing what I can do to make sure that I keep moving forward. I feel like I am –
And you're not working at all? You're in school but not working?
No. Yeah, no. I've always – and that's the kind of – the anxiety part about it, because I've always worked. Like, I pretty much ever since I could work at, like, 14.
Uh-huh.
And now that they're so small, my son is 18 months. My daughter is about to be 7 months. You know, it's very expensive, you know, for just one person.
Right, and she's taking – so participating financially, but she's saying I'm just trying to do it on my own.
Doing everything on your own. And are you currently carrying a full load of credits?
Yes.
And you're going for your master's and you should be done within a year?
My projected graduation date is November 2020.
Nicole, sorry to interrupt you. In November 2020, I think she said, but we're not hearing you very clearly. You going in and out.
It's my connection. Sorry.
Well, you're carrying a full load of credits. But you're going for your master's and you're not getting it until 2020. Why is there such a master's? Are usually about a year.
Yeah, I stopped.
One master's programs are 2 or 3 years.
You're going for your master's in what? I'm sorry. What are you going for? Clinical counseling.
Clinical counseling, right.
And how long is the master's program? I think they're like 2 years a lot of the time.
It could be two, it could be one, it all depends.
Some are three.
Mine is 2 years, the credit.
Okay, so there's nothing wrong with you being ambitious. I mean, you've got two kids, you've worked all your life, you're accustomed to that, you have your hands full, so... You're kind of in a situation because if you know considering that you're ambitious and you're hardworking, working now at a job with all these credits and also raising children, you're going to have to. Wow, I mean, to what extent can you? How many hours can you put in before you have to go to sleep? And then how much are you going to make?
That's what I did with my daughter. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, but you know. It's just something that, you know, I have to do. Like, I always take care of my kids. Like, with my daughter, with my undergrad, it was so – I was working full-time, single mom. It is hard. But
You're living on, Nicole, how are you surviving?
Right now, since I stopped working, I was when my daughter was born, I had saved up as much as I could from working. That carried me over until tax time. So right now, I'm just, you know, going over from what I got my income time. But I see that, you know, it's running out and, you know, I'm their sole caretaker. So it's, you know, I just.
You know
what I'm going to do.
If you don't have any financial assistance coming from anything, and you don't have a great uncle or aunt or grandmother or mother or father or man that is willing to assist you, you know, what we're basically looking at is you going back to the workforce and struggling until, you know, and it's going to be a struggle. But
I mean, is there financial assistance she can apply for in terms of public assistance or?
Probably not.
Well, there has to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
they also say I have too much money. Yeah, they say.
Go ahead. Nicole?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, we're losing connection for some
Nicole,
reason.
Nicole, your difficulty in obtaining financial aid is due to what?
But as far as like any government assistance with, you know, rent or food stamps or anything, they all say I make too much money.
But if you said you're not, you make too much money, but I thought she wasn't working.
That has only been for a couple of months now, so I have to wait to reapply. But prior to that,
how long? What were you doing before, Nicole?
A caseworker.
You were a case. Oh, you were doing social work. So you were working probably. How much were you working a week? Like
full time. Yeah.
Full time.
Yeah.
And so now you're not. Is there a window of time you have to wait to reapply?
I called a couple of months ago. They told me that I have to wait 2 more months. So I believe it's 6 months. So I can reapply again. Actually, at the end of this is May. So yeah, by the beginning of next month, I should be able to reapply for
Nicole,
maybe at least food stamps. Yes.
Let me ask you something, Nicole. Brainstorming here.
Yes.
But think about what I'm saying. Is there any way that you can tutor or help or assist young social workers who might need to understand how to work, do a workload, or is there any way that you can do tutoring in your particular field that would be easy for you to still maintain all your other responsibilities?
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
I never thought about, you know, pretty much working for myself and being a tutor.
Oh, no, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I can,
No, that's what you have to do, Nicole, because you're too, you're too restricted by your other responsibilities to be available to a legitimate employer. You've got too much going, and they're not, you know, who are you, they don't want, you've got troubles. So what you have to do, you have to go into tutoring. You go work on your master's, you can tutor students, you can tutor people in the field that you're particularly, advanced in. You could tutor students and any other academics.
She could also,
do
and
tutoring
if she's doing
and
this, you know, part-time and she's self-employed, then there might be a better opportunity for you to also get some help that's available to, you know, resources that's available to people who are in a position of being a single mother. While you're still making money. So there's probably a limit on what you can make, but... You know, juggling everything that you have to juggle, it seems like it would be possible to still get some financial assistance.
Yeah. Well, you know, the best psychic impression we can give you in the amount of time we're working with you is tutoring, helping, doing some instructional work, and maybe you could reach into the pool of social workers, people who are having confusion. You know, go from there, Nicole.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, because I've just been applying. I didn't even think about, you know, doing something, you know, like that for myself. Yeah, so
well,
I'll
now
definitely.
You have the idea, so go forward on that.
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe $15 an hour or something. I don't know.
Well, even more.
Right.
Or even more.
It's probably.
All right?
Okay, thank you. Thank you
that
so
route. Try that route.
And reapply, too, for the benefits. She said she'd be able to do that at the end of this month. So it sounds like you're eligible again.
Reapply. Let's see if we've tapped into a doorway that's psychic that will actually help you.
Help me,
let's see if it works.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nicole. And Nicole can join us on Facebook, Neil and Kristen Baker, as well as Neil Baker. Psychic page 248 is our next caller. Hello.
Sarah, my name's Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. And what's your birthday, Jennifer?
April 3rd, 1970.
70. Your voice sounds... Have we spoken with you before?
Well, it was about a year and a half to 2 years ago. So you're good. Good memory.
Yeah, I feel, you know, you sound familiar to me. 4370. Okay, and what is your question?
Well, last time I called, I was out of work, and Neil said, I see you working for the government. So I got the government job. It was on contract. My contract today was my last day. Financially, I'm okay for a while, but I'm getting to that age where I'm going to be on contract. If I'm going to be on contract jobs, I'm sort of beating myself up going, okay, why didn't I do a career way back in my 20s? I'd be retiring by now. So I'm wondering if he can see anything, you know, like he did with the last caller about tutoring or if there's something else that I should be doing.
And she's, yeah, she's 24/6, so she's going through a change right now. She's going, she's turned 48. It's 24 times two. So she just ended a job.
Times eight.
Yeah, but she's, it's a doubling of her karmic number.
Uh-huh, okay.
48.
Uh-huh.
24.
And you're, and so, well, number one, get out of your head, you're too old. Don't put that energy in there. That, no, let's not go there. We don't need it. It doesn't matter if there's some statistic or anything. Forget that. Let's not go there. So we have to, first of all, get that out of your head. Two, what was your, you got the government job that we suggested. So you got that, and that lasted, what, over a year?
Year and a half, yes.
What kind of work exactly do you do?
I've got a background in financial planning, but this was a tax collector job, but I liked it.
Okay. And why did it end?
They said that there was something to do with the budget. They let seven of us go, and they're still, they extended contracts for probably the other 20 people until the end of September. But I have a feeling they're going to get let go as well, so...
Well, you have a kind of commanding voice that's kind of stern and that's kind of equipped for bill collecting. are there any companies that you know of? My grandmother did that kind of work, and she was well off in terms of collecting bills for companies. Is there anything out there that you know of, since you are in that field, as it were, where you could do further investigating in terms of still doing bill collecting, but not necessarily with a government organization?
There probably is. I've just started applying for things. I've got an interview on Friday, but it sounds like one of those tiered marketing things. So I'll go for the interview skills, but I have a feeling it won't.
Okay. Do you have any experience? Like if you were doing bill collecting, you know, when you have to pay the doctor bill and it goes to a collection thing and they collect the bills. Have you thought about anything in the medical field where the bills go to the bill collector and they're the ones who take care of the medical bills?
So the bill collector, though, I think it would be a generalized bill collector, not specifically medical. Once you're a bill collector, all kinds of bills go to the bill collector.
If you dispute a medical bill and they say, well, you owe this bill like less.
Oh, you're saying being in the billing department at a medical place.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
You know, that's a good idea in terms of maybe just going to the doctors and saying, okay, or dentists here, because our medical is usually paid for by the government, but going to the dentist and saying, okay, one day a week I'll work your accounts receivables books
and just
do it as an independent contractor. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that idea.
Is that lucrative? Is that going to be as lucrative as the field that you were in previously?
The benefits won't be there.
Right.
I'd be self-employed, but, you know, it's hard when you're doing something one day a week for one person. So,
Other doctors may use you. This is the vibe. I think this is where we have to start on the hunt, Jennifer. Let's start there, and then from there, let's see what kind of fruit it blossoms here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's start on that note, and then we'll see where that takes us. But that's where we have to begin in terms of these short readings. We have to kind of figure real quickly what to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we think. Self-employment, collecting bill collector for a private doctors or whatever.
A dentist.
Mm-hmm.
And just promoting your resume and your experience. Let's go there first.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
What was Kristen saying about the 24 times 24?
Well, your master number is 6, first of all, and so 8 times 6 is 48, but also your karmic number is 24. So it's the doubling of your karmic number. You did leave a job at this age, so that marks a significant event associated with that cycle, and perhaps you're going to be finding something new. So it's kind of a doubling of energy, the 8th cycle And interesting, it's 8, which is money, finances.
And in her year, 8.
Yeah. Wait, 7-4, you mean the 4-3 cross?
1970?
Oh, yeah, the 8 on the car and in the cross, too.
Yeah.
So 1970 is an 8 as well. So that's also significant to the cycle of 6 that you're going through. And you're in the financial field, so it's all kind of tying
yeah.
in nicely.
Yeah, and then crossover 17-8.
Right.
Yeah, it should be.
17-8.
Yeah, but don't ever say you're too old. Don't say that to yourself. Don't say it to anybody else. Throw that one out. That's an energy you're creating in your brain that puts out an energy field. It's ridiculous. Don't think that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Take care, Jennifer, and keep in touch. Let us know how things progress for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Yeah, the vibration, the brain vibrations of thoughts, we don't – when I'm looking at a person, I can see their brain vibrations casting out energy around them. And with the third eye, you can see, oh, my God, they're putting out more pollution than they need. That's going to affect their whole environment. So there is something, it doesn't always work, but there is something to the effects of negative thinking. That doesn't work.
And it's interesting because she's a 6. So she probably, I mean, you know, in terms of the 6th chakra in her mind, she's got to really be careful about what kind of energy she puts out.
Yeah.
Especially because she hung up already. But yeah.
Well, no, this is just for whatever.
Yeah, for everybody that's listening. So we can, you know, continue to talk because we're right now don't have anybody sitting in the queue waiting for us. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting. Well, I had an experience last night where I had a thought go out and it was really a strange situation where my thoughts were picked up on by somebody. And then it was very weird.
Well, when, you know, the more that you advance your third eye, which is fabulous, advance your third eye. There's different ways you can do it. There's ways we suggest you don't do it, but there's ways we suggest you do it. The more natural ways are, of course, the safest path, and the more actually they have less consequences of negative effects. A recent book just came out about the effects of LSD and mushrooms on the psyche, and you know, it's all very interesting, and of course they do affect the psyche, and there are ways of maybe controlling it to such an extent that it may have some medical value or depression value. But the thing to understand is that the third eye doesn't need mushrooms and the third eye doesn't need LSD. The third eye in the pineal gland, if you learn how to explore it and get into it and organically connect to it, biologically speaking, it will do as much for you as any other stimulant that would otherwise get in there and wake it up.
Well, and I think if you rely on something that, you know, like a hallucinogen to open the third eye, really it's going to be limiting, because then you're relying on taking a drug to open it rather than being able to do it in a state where you're balanced and sober. But
that's
true.
But you see, what happens is you're putting a toxic agent in there that ultimately can consume the third eye and control it. And that can freak anybody out. I have a friend who lost his mind on LSD. You're putting a toxic agent in there. So you may get a rush. You may get some visual experience or some feeling of nirvana or enlightenment. Yeah, you'll probably maybe get that quicker.
Or complete terror. I mean, which can happen. I mean, really bad trips.
But the thing is, there's a toxic element to that now can feed into the third eye and, God forbid, do all kinds of crazy things, and not only just in the psyche, but in the body. The other approach, where you're utilizing, well, first of all, you're utilizing what? Your 6th chakra itself, because you're utilizing your mind and your breath and your concentration, and you're getting into exploring naturally how to open up your third eye and to allow it to expand and come out, so that without the aid of any stimulant, you're having these extraordinary experiences visually, hearing-wise, auditorial, mind-wise, wisdom-wise, psychic-wise, there's so many different layers.
And being able to command energy fields insofar that you can affect other people's thoughts.
Oh, you can.
Well, that's the, you know.
Well, that's the naughty part. I mean, that's what you have to be. You have to be careful because that's where the ethical values.
Right, but I mean, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What I was going to say is the experience I had last night, you know, something, what happened in terms of a thought that I had and actually had verbally expressed to you was not an intentional, I wasn't trying to do mind control on anybody, but it ended up impacting someone. And then they kind of mirrored to me what we had been talking about. You mentioned this person, essentially.
Well,
and I was like,
because if you're developing your third eye, and you're allowing it to come out in a conscious state, not just in the dream. The dream state, it will come out anyways. Anybody can have some experience there. But if you're consciously training yourself to bring it out in the actual conscious state, you're awake and you're activating energies and you're exploring the third eye and you're looking at things in a different way and you're combining your breathing and you're seeing things morph around you. What happens is that third eye is now moving out of the pineal gland, is actually moving out and surfacing in the energy field of your physical eye. And what it does is as it moves into the physical eye, it starts to say to the physical eyes, hey, move over, guys. I want to look at the world through my energy. I'll use your visionary space to do it. I'll still use the retina, the iris, I'll still use all those things, the pupil, but I'm going to come in and look and use this platform to blast off into space in the astral realm so that the brain that is occupying us can experience what I'm showing it. And that is when you start to see weird things, auras and energy fields. Now, as that third eye goes out, it starts to send out like dust, like cosmic dust. That cosmic dust is filled with energy. We're trying to examine the cosmic dust from outer space to determine the origin of life. We try to discover things that are emitted from even dead stars, light, planets, materials. We find something on the Earth and we analyze it. It's a meteor. It's a rock from another planet. We look at these things. What the third eye does is it sends out cosmic dust, astral dust. And that astral dust is filled with molecular energy, cosmic energy. It's filled with thought energy, not on a cosmic level. But when it goes out, if the occupant knows certain people, it can go, that cosmic energy can go out to that particular person and almost coat them with energy to where they're thinking, where the thoughts become simultaneously shared. You have a simultaneous thought. This is the object of massive communication, of taking communication that is otherwise stationary and becoming omnipresent and omniscient, where you occupy the space of all knowing and all being and all present, you're there. I mean, not to mention you can go into past lives, you can go into the future, you can go into the past, you can go into the present field. But the value of this energy coming out of your third eye and going out and finding specific targets is incredible.
Right, and then of course controlling it rather than, you know, randomly firing here and there, which
okay.
Is a crude form.
That's where you get better. It's like a gun. Your aim. Your aim is right. I mean, but use the metaphor of the honeybee that leaves the nest, goes wiggling all around, finding the honey, the pollen and the flowers, and then coming back and bringing back to the nest not only the pollen but the direct route that the bee took to get to the source of honey. It's going out and coming back in, going out and coming back in. This symbiosis kind of movement current can also be applied to the third eye, where you move outward, you connect it to a certain field of energy, and then you bring it back to the mind. But when that connection is made, the receiver on some level, whether it's subconscious or not, or through osmosis, will perceive something. And then you have to apply, of course, ethics and proper privacy and things like that. If you're a psychic and you're trying to influence something, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can sit, you cannot be a psychic, and you can sit and go, God, I hope that guy gives me a job. Oh, please give me a job. Give me a job. Well, that's a crude way of being a psychic. But if you're a psychic and you go, I'm going to send a thought to this person that I'm the best person around. They've got to take me. We have a strong karma together. We'll do great work together. We're going to put that energy out. That can actually, the receiver will be walking around going, you know, that person, I think we could work together really well. I don't know why, but they're on my mind a lot. You know, this is how it kind of works in the best fashion of all, to where there's an agreement on an energy level. And what is it? It's not really the body. The body's doing it, but it's really the launch of the spirit, the launch of the soul that's going over to that environment and tapping into the psyche, not just the body. The body would be that you actually text them or call them, but it goes into the psyche of the receiver and starts to commingle with their mindset. And you're not doing it as a form of thought control. You're doing it as a form of thought interaction. It's more interaction, which is a kinder word than any kind of sense of control or hypnotism or something like this. This interaction is valuable to us because we used to have it back in when the third eyes were more prominent. We used to have this kind of form of a thought control energy. And then we call it telepathy, and we use all these other terminologies that are involved, but it's also the form of transmission. So when we go into the idea of transmission and we're trying to put out an energy source that's coming directly from the third eye, and that energy force now has proper controller to it and directing it to a specific location and getting a vibrational response that has been delivered. It's almost like when you text somebody and you know it's been delivered and then you know it's been read. It's the same thing. That's kind of crude. The more advanced form of that gave birth to that idea was actually the energy field of the third eye. That is the most natural form of energy that we can use. And if properly trained and applied with the advancement of skills, you are a walking energy field that is complete within itself, that can ultimately be, to a large extent, omnipresent, omniscient. Of course, with all due respect to God and angels and spirits and saints and saviors and all that, we're humble human beings, so we use it with discretion and we use it with respect. But we use it in the language and the vocabulary of the soul and the spirit. We're not talking about the body. The body is just a platform that's obviously necessary. We have to have language and we have to have body thoughts. We have to use our organic brain. But we're going deeper into the depths of subconsciousness. And we're taking that subconsciousness and bringing it out in such a way that it's formed into this massive third eye that is filled with capabilities, information, maneuvers, all these kinds of things that now can manifest outward from the body. And that as it emerges outward from the body, we're skilled enough to start to get it out. It's like the difference between flying a kite and blasting a rocket ship off the planet. They're all the same. A little airplane, and then suddenly a jet, and then suddenly a rocket, and then suddenly a satellite. The same thing happens with the evolution, the evolving sense of the third eye, as it moves from the organic placement of the pineal gland and it moves forward. It actually develops in time and space to a finer tuned energy.
Right. And then the confusion about
you know, putting out an energy field and having the other person receive it is who's the one that's psychic, the one receiving the energy or the one putting it out? Obviously the one putting it out, and that's where some confusion could lie, because the person receiving it may think, oh, I was picking up on your thoughts. I'm the psychic.
Yeah. Well, the chicken or the egg. The idea, though, is that we all are composites of many energies. We all have an astral body. We all have a third eye. We all have an extraordinary sixth sense. We all have these things, and we all have a body energy field. Our bodies are equipped to help us interpret our environment. We get goosebumps. We feel a scrape. Our bodies is a unit of feeling, of intensifying our environment and perceiving it as whether it's good or whether it's bad. So just on a primitive level, we can put that energy out and allow our body to receive transmissions, to receive energy fields. And so when you're sending a thought out to somebody, that the intensity of your thought combined with the intensity of your talent,
right,
your advancement, mm-hmm, can probe into a receiver's mind and actually hit their brain. In some respects, I've had people call me up and say, Neil, were you in my room just now? I saw you out of the corner of my eye. And my answer to them is, well, in a way, yes, that's an astral body. And an astral body, a thought can materialize into an image. It's fabulous. I remember when I was a kid, we just saw this movie, The Shining, last night.
And that's kind of how this whole thing came about, in fact, because I had mentioned to Neil someone in the movie that reminded me of someone way from my past, and then a person texted me about that person later that night. This is someone I haven't talked about in like 6 years, but anyway,
yeah,
6 years or more. So it was very uncanny, the whole
right
flow of energy. But anyway,
yeah,
yes, we watched
were watching that movie. With all due respect to Stephen King, it's not like the book. The book's better.
You've obviously seen it many times. Of course, I'm behind in movies, so I'm still watching things from like, you know, 1980 that I never bothered to watch during the time.
Stanley Kubrick, very love him as a filmmaker, brilliant director, brilliant technician and all that. And of course, The Shining had its moments, but compared to the book, no. It completely, what do you call it?
It pales
vulgarizes
the work that Stephen King did.
Condemned the movie. The movie is really a glamorous B movie, is what it is. I mean, it's campy and all that, and it's got some images. The thing about, though, the child in the movie that plays the little boy, in my youth I fit into his body. I was like that. I had the vision, the energies, the friends, the spirits, the guides. And most peculiar, I had twins. I would be asleep and wake up, and there would be twins sitting over my bed just staring at me.
Were the twins in the Stephen King book?
I think there were some apparitions. Yeah, there were some apparitions. So, I read the book at 20.
I should read the book now, but I watched the movie, but...
They did a lot of crazy things in the movie that the book had a much more rich and textured psychology to it, and more of a
How can you convey that? I mean, it's difficult to convey that. To Kill a Mockingbird is a book that I, you know, was not interested in the movie at all once I saw it, because the book, I just don't feel like.
Well, you're not going to get the enrichment. Well, of course, you're not going to get the enrichment from a movie. You get a visual director's energy from a movie, and Dr. Strangelove and Spartacus,
Clockwork Orange,
and things like that. Barry Lyndon even had it somewhat of a textured energy to it. But when you get into the idea that I saw these two twins, and I would see them on occasion. And when I would open my eyes, I saw them for about 3 or 4 seconds, giggling, looking at me, staring at me, almost immersed in curiosity, sensed.
Which is kind of how it was conveyed with these twins in the movie with the, what is his name, Danny?
Danny, yeah. Although they were, they're victims of a murder.
Yeah.
And they wanted Danny to come and play with them on the other side and die and all that.
Yeah, so there was more of the sinister. But, I mean, the twins that you encountered, what was
the
their...
The twins that I encountered, well, they were
approach.
From a family of energies that I had encountered as a little boy that were filled with child spirits. There was a boy that used to come visit me with his head all bashed in. He was
so
wearing a
that's a similarly
uniform.
Violent.
Yeah.
I mean, these girls in the movie died violently. What about the twins?
This baseball kid was a kid that got hit by a baseball bat at the Little League field where I used to play. And he would sometimes appear, but in the spirit bodily form of how he actually died with his head bashed in. That was more like the movie with Bruce Willis, where the kid was seeing.
Oh, The Sixth Sense?
Sixth Sense. Yeah, The Sixth Sense and The Shining. I mean, that was the kind of kid I was, seeing all these things. Ultimately, oh my God, I had to go to doctors because my parents thought I was, you know, hallucinating and all that. But they were all things for real. Obviously, I'm in my 60s still doing this kind of work. These twins came from a family of younger children that had crossed over and just felt the gravitational pull of my essence as a human being in terms of being psychic, and so it attracted them. They were attracted like a shark to blood in the water. Spirits can feel from any time in space, in time. They can feel the intensity of any particular human being who has an active third eye and go over to them and be drawn to them like a moth to the light. They will have that energy because a lot of them are trapped
in the earth.
They're kind of trapped in the astral realm.
On the earth plane, the astral realm that
coincides
with the earth plane.
Yeah, it's like you're in a building and you're locked in a building and all the windows are sealed. Everything's there. But outside is a whole different environment. So you're actually, the building is one environment and outside is another. They don't really connect because they're enclosed, but they do connect. They're parallel to one another. That's what the astral realm is like. If you open up your third eye, I used to drive myself crazy. I'd open my third eye and see the visible world, the physical world, and then I would see spirits in the astral realm right beside it. And I learned to recognize the difference and not become so psychotic in my mind that I was crazy, wondering what was real and what wasn't. The other thing about the idea of the shining was that you can trade thoughts, that you can hear people think.
Right, because what was the guy's name? The cook was psychic.
The shining.
And he was communicating with a little boy in the movie.
Yeah, saying, you're going to have some ice cream.
And then later, obviously, well, we don't want to give anything away, but he was
really
connected to what was going on in the house
connected.
And the thoughts of the boy.
And the thoughts of the boy, and there was an advantage there. I remember being I was about 13, and I was reading a magazine at a magazine rack in a store, and this woman was beside me reading magazines too. She was probably, I was about 14, 15, she was probably about 28, 30 years old. And she said, hello, Neil, are you enjoying that magazine? And I turned and looked at her, and she was just reading the magazine. There was no motion of her voice. She wasn't looking at anything.
She wasn't moving her mouth.
I went, what? So I kept reading the magazine, and she goes, Neil, hello, are you enjoying the magazine? Yeah, it's me. I'm connecting to your thoughts. I'm a psychic. I have the gift, too. And I said, and I thought to myself, you do? And she goes, yeah, I do. See, we're talking together. I might have even been younger.
Yeah, I think you were younger. I don't remember.
It was comic
this.
Book, so it was.
Yeah, you must have been.
I was younger. And she was all dressed in black. And I thought, oh, my God. So the idea, see, because I used to read people's thoughts, but I never heard them talk back to me. That was the first time anybody ever talked back to me. Well, I guess that was the gift of The Shining that Stephen King came up in his imagination with. But it's a real thing. You can have... Well, what you were doing, you know, you think of these people and they call, you're doing that more often, Kristen, and getting more in tune of what it is to develop the third eye. But again, you're spending every day working and practicing and getting involved in the third eye. And like I told you, you're going to start to experience more things, which you are, even in your dream world. You're experiencing more things and getting more psychic hits. And I'm impressed because I hear you say things, you know, I'm thinking about this person, and then they'll call. And you go, do you remember I told you that? I go, yeah, I heard you did. I'm not surprised that you're doing it, but I'm still impressed with the intensity because it's, you know, I'm watching somebody other than myself be psychic that I'm married to, that I'm living with, and I'm watching actually the growth of it. Like, you know, you'd watch a dog grow up. So you watch these things and you go, my God. And it gets into the area of teaching because most of the time when we're doing these readings, you know, we're trying to get something for somebody.
Right.
People call us and say, we want to develop our psychic skills and we want to learn more about it.
They do sometimes, but usually it's a short lived, you know, like people want to learn to, you know, play the piano or they, you know, whatever it is, they start a pursuit and then don't want to put
the
time in that's necessary to really develop it. And it really does take a great deal of commitment.
It's discipline. I mean,
major.
To say, you know, well, I want to learn it, that's fine. And if you want to do it for a little short time, that's fine. You know, you chew a piece of gum, it's got a lot of sugar in it. 2 minutes later, you spit it out because your jaws hurt and there's no taste anymore. I mean, some people just don't have, they want a quick fix. They want, you know, even if it lasts a month or two. So you don't, if you're going to develop your third eye, you don't stop and you don't say, well, I think I've got it from here. No, I don't even have it from here. But I mean, I just wasn't geared to be trained by anybody except for a short time with my grandfather, but I've had no other trainers. But I approached it in the solo way and developed it and fortunately was able to achieve some success with it.
Right, but having a, you know, a communication with other entities, spirits or angels, you know, that is going to help. That obviously helped you develop.
Oh, that's the most fascinating part about it. That kept me preoccupied. I could spend a lifetime talking about that in terms of the energies and the entities you pick up and meet and they return. I mean, we have several guides that we work with that are part of, we call it our family. They're part of their family members. And we're not nuts. These are family energies. You know, someone says, you know, you walk into a house and a common person who owns the house says, oh, Uncle Charlie lives here, or Grandma's watching over the place, or I know my mother's here watching over us. I mean, people say it in everyday conversation. We're talking about specific guides and spirits, entities that didn't even ever occupy a human body, more or less someone who's crossed over is in the soul spirit position. We're talking about angels, and there's a whole host of energies out there that are very real, that give very real accurate information,
right,
and that seem to like, they're like wild dogs that learn how to become domesticated. They seem to really like human beings. They don't have a thing. They aren't part of Satan's legions. They're really good energies. They seem to like human beings, and they want to be around us, like a dog.
Right.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the first thing, when we use that metaphor, the first thing that attracted the dog to the caveman was the fire and the smell of the food. And occasionally one caveman threw some meat out to a mongrel, to a primitive dog, wild dog.
Primitive dog.
And that started man's relationship, became man's best friend. Because it was the first wild animal that man domesticated. And it came from the very aspect of, think about it, fire and food. That was what started the first primitive relationship that a human being had with another species, with another energy. The same thing happens, and then became symbiotic, because the dog would assist in the hunt, and in return they would also feed on the hunt. The man was the dominant alpha male, but again, the dogs had their own
pack
unit.
And also probably the alpha dog.
Yeah, and they had the alpha dog, but it became a unit of energy. Now, you know, those big, gigantic bloodthirsty dogs that were domesticated, and now little
chihuahua,
poodles with bows in their hair. Not exactly the way we've morphed is another question. But again, we're on the topic of morphing, and that's just what happens, not only in the real world, but in the spiritual world.
So back on the topic of training, because you had communication with spirits and angels, obviously this helped to train you because there was a sense of legitimacy that you were able to establish by getting accurate information, guidance from these celestial beings or beings that reside in the astral realm. But for those, you know, there are going to be people that have maybe a more activated third eye. They might see spirits, or they might have premonitions, or maybe they have dreams, but they may not have a connection with celestial beings, for instance. So, you know, their requirement of training is going to be through like another human being.
It could be, yeah.
Before they start to really make those connections with,
you know,
other entities.
People who have experiences,
you know, self-training isn't going to work for everyone is what I'm saying. I mean, on some level it might, but it's only going to get them so far unless you're extremely gifted.
Well, let's look at the metaphor. People who have these casual experiences with entities and spirits, it's sort of like somebody walking down the street and they smell a bakery. And they smell it and it's great. The aromas, they can even taste it on their tongues. That's one form of connecting with a spirit. You sort of get the atmosphere, the mood, the tone of a spirit, and you get this feeling. Now let's take that person and put them in the bakery. And they go in and they actually buy a donut or a cupcake. Now they're eating it. That's sort of like people who go a little bit further into the realm of communicating with spirits, and they become more advanced in their attitude and their connection and their interaction with spirits. Now let's say that same individual says, hey, can I get a job here? I want to become a baker. I want to bake these things. Now that's the lifetime commitment. When I experience these spirits and guides and ghosts, I just wasn't receiving them like it was a theater and I was having fun or
right.
whatever. I said to a spirit guide, teach me.
See, so that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So you had training, but it just wasn't, I mean, except for your grandfather, you had the luxury of being able to
find somebody
yeah.
there that took me under their
exactly.
wing, no pun intended. And I said, help me develop this attitude of communicating. And they helped me to develop it until I learned how to discriminate between good spirits, bad spirits, phonies, spirits of ill intent that can come on with a really, you know, like a pimp. You
persuasive
know,
attitude.
They're colorful. They know things. They seem to be, you know, they love to hang around on Ouija boards and hallucinogenics. They love the, you know, it's like that's their bus stop, their train station where they go pick up people. They like those things. Of course, if you're really trained, you can use that. But if you're really trained, you don't.
Trained. You keep doing that.
If you're really trained and you're trying to get a hold of Elmer Fudd. But if you're trained, you don't need those things. You don't need pickup sticks. You don't need runes. You don't need
tarot
oracles.
Cards. I mean, even though they can have their benefit, their entertainment benefit, and actually, you know,
well,
there can be accuracy, you know, in the readings that they provide, but you need a connection.
They're easy
tools.
They're tools that assist those that need tools. And so if you need the tools and you've learned to form a communication with these tools, then they're okay. I mean, that's, you need it and that's where you are. If you're just walking around, I mean, you know, the great saints didn't, when you ask them a question, they didn't go, you know, Christ didn't go,
let me look at my coffee grounds.
I'll get my Daryl card and see what we're thinking about the future of the Armageddon. You know, he didn't, there wasn't a specific element. It came from the inspirational portion of the brain, the pineal gland, the attitude that the brain is advanced and transcended into the astral realm, into the spiritual realm, and has a direct linking to angels, guides, spirits. I mean, there are councils out there. And those councils of energies can be drawn, like we said, like to the light of the pineal gland and work through those layers. Now, the other complication is the person themselves. You only have 1 minute?
Yeah, well, we can go a little bit.
No, we don't need to. The person themselves, the more advanced you are, the more you let go of neuroses and psychoses and worrying about this or worrying about that, the less neurotic you are, the better channel you can become. So it's about working out your own ability as a human being to cope, to be healthy.
Right, so the psyche is involved in the sixth chakra is involved in the development of the third eye. That,
right.
You know,
we're not even hyphenating.
Perfection of the third eye.
In that respect, we're not even hyphenating the word. It's one word, well-being. There's no other. It's a compounded word that is taken on a single word of thought, well-being. And so you merge that together because well-being means that the body, the soul, and the spirit are all in one total working unit. Now the third eye can blossom with the best colors of all. And believe me, it will blossom.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we didn't really get to our topic, but that's okay.
What was our topic?
Modes of transcendence. But it was kind of what's the word that I?
It was related.
Today?
It was cousin.
Well, it's related and it was spontaneous. So that's always nice.
Yeah.
A spontaneous conversation. So we can get more into modes of transcendence because I think that's an interesting conversation that we can have as well.
Absolutely.
Okay. We are back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to our callers and listeners. And remember to follow us, everybody, Facebook, Neil and Kristen Baker, and Neil Baker Psychic, and here on Blog Talk Radio and on Twitter. Have a great couple of days. Bye-bye.